Hello and welcome to the Tenable Research Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Raywood, and on this episode, we're looking at the concept of exposure management. Now, of course, in the past, we've talked about vulnerability management, we've talked about cyber exposure, but now we're going to talk about the concept of exposure management. It's a term that we are talking about quite a lot here at Tenable. I'm sure you've seen it mentioned in some other places. We are, as we record, a couple of weeks off the end of the Las Vegas conferences, Black Hat, DEF CON, etc. So, well, it may be something you've come across at those conferences, or you've heard about on other podcasts, or you've read about from analyst firms. We thought we'd take a bit of a look at what exposure management is. And we'd like to be joined by Tenable's Senior Principal Security Advocate, Nathan Wensler, once again. So let's head straight over and talk to Nathan. And we're joined now by Nathan Wensler to talk about the concept of exposure management. Now, Nathan, what is your understanding of what exposure management is?
Well, that's both a simple and complicated question, Dan. You know, exposure management, as we're seeing it kind of evolve right now, is this sort of natural extension of what we've been calling vulnerability management for a long time. But it's a recognition in a lot of ways that the nature of most environments, the number of assets that people have, the types of assets that people have, and really trying to tie that growing complexity to the business and how the business views those assets and where risk lives. This is starting to become the question of that exposure management is going to try to answer here as it becomes a more formal discipline. And that is not just to say, where do I have vulnerabilities, right? The question I think we've asked for a long time is, are we secure, or how secure are we? And that's fine from a technical standpoint. We can look at a server or a web application and we can sort of understand where it has vulnerabilities and how secure is it. Is it patched well? Is it configured well? Those are things we can understand. But the business doesn't look at it that way. The business wants to understand, are we at risk from threats out there? Are we going to become a victim of ransomware attacks? Are we at risk of intellectual property loss? If we acquire a new company, are we taking on business risk from their assets that we're not aware of? These are different kinds of questions. These are business questions, not technical questions, right? And so exposure management is where we take VM as an idea and really sort of explode it into this bigger picture view of not just where are we technically at risk, where is the business at risk as well? So we're tying together that technical information with the business. We're starting to look at where are the places that we might have data leaks. Where are the places that an attacker might be likely to attack us? May not necessarily be the places that aren't patched, but it could just be the attractive targets. It's those kinds of questions that we're starting to answer. And I suppose the folks much smarter than I am who've come up with these names have probably done so because that's, you know, the idea of exposure management is exactly that. Where are we exposed, right? That becomes the question we want to answer. It's something that business folks understand from a financial and liability standpoint. It's something that technical folks understand from a security standpoint. So we're really trying to bring together finally this idea that it's not just enough to patch everything, to configure everything well, to secure with, you know, good, strong credentials and management. We have to understand where in our environment are we most likely to be attacked? Where are we most likely to suffer loss? And how do we protect those things, or how do we put controls in place to mitigate that so we reduce the amount of exposure we have to that loss?
Great. Yeah, I was going to ask you, how's it different from vulnerability management? I think you've kind of answered it there, because it's not just, I think like you said there, it's not just where can we be at risk, it's where is the business exposed. And I think the next point I'd make is, does this allow users being the likes of you and I, or, you know, wider businesses, larger enterprises, smaller businesses, whatever, does exposure management allow those companies to determine their level of exposure, is, you know, both internally and externally, and knowing what apps and which services are exposing them? Is that where this fits into the sort of cybersecurity scale?
I think so. I mean, I think that's the goal, right? I mean, if you want to, you know, think about this, exposure management is not a it's not a thing that you just achieve. right? It's a process. It's something that you're going to do for a long time. It's going to change as the threat landscape changes, as your asset landscape changes, your environment. It's a very dynamic kind of thing. But the goal is to be able to essentially sit down and ask that question of your whole environment. Where am I most exposed right now? Is it my web applications that are running my business? Probably. They're out on the internet. They're being attacked on a daily basis, and we're not doing a good job of keeping them secure. That's probably where we're most exposed. But it should also surface the things that are not so obvious, right? I have a misconfigured group somewhere in my environment that allows access to critical databases to every user in my environment. Probably shouldn't have that. I've got a misconfigured firewall that is allowing access across networks that shouldn't. These, again, may be seen as normal business operations. The device or the asset could be functioning totally normally. But when we start to pair the information together of security state across the way, tied to the business risk, what kind of information can it get to? What would happen if the business or this data was compromised? You start to answer that exact question you're saying. It's like, where is the biggest problem today? And I should be able to sit down and look at all of the security findings, all of the information, understand what the business wants, and say, it's a magic eight ball right here. This is the spot where we really could be devastated by an attack, and we need to figure out what to do about that. That's where we're most exposed to risk, whatever that happens to manifest as.
Yeah, sure. And I guess for security teams, IT, broader enterprise IT, this is actually a way of enabling them to better manage their wide set of exposures. They know when they're more vulnerable. They go back to your early point there, how secure am I? Am I vulnerable to ransomware? Am I vulnerable to IoT attacks? Whatever, or look at the major threats of today. How vulnerable are we? This is a way of looking forward to it and actually saying this is a way of answering that question just a bit more honestly.
Yeah, I think so. And I think it changes the conversation for those IT and more technical folks to, again, align better with the business. And it's one thing to say, well, as the IT department, we were very successful because we deployed all of this month's Microsoft patches to our Windows systems, and we did a great job. Okay, but did you also take care of the misconfigured Linux server that is got, storing intellectual property information that is open to every single person in the environment? Well, no, that wasn't a patch, so we didn't touch it. Right, but that critical data is the most important thing to the business, right? So we changed the narrative a little bit for the technical folks to say it's not simply about what's easily achievable. It's really about, again, where is the business most at risk? Where are the assets that we really should focus on because they could cause the most damage? And let's start to prioritize how we go after those things, in that way versus just, this is simple, so I'll do that first. And this one's a little bit harder, and so I'll fix that later. And these other things down here, well, they're important, but I can't really do anything about that, so I'll leave it for now. Right, the business doesn't work that way, or the business doesn't see the asset landscape that way. So we have to change that narrative for the IT folks too. And I think this is an important step in that direction.
Great. Okay. And just to kind of look on something you've been talking about there, this sounds like it's quite a manual thing. That it's not a duty for the business. Do you see automation fitting into exposure management at all?
Oh, it's the key. I mean, automation is the only way this is going to work. The sheer amount of data that is involved with this, there's really no way to do this manually. And let's step back for a second, right? I mean, I think all of us have said, I think I've said it in conversations with you on other podcasts, the most popular security tool on the planet is Excel, right? Mm-hmm. Because we're constantly pulling data from all these different security tools. We don't have a good way to relate the information together and have context about it. So we pull it out into spreadsheets, we analyze it manually. There's a lot of that work that's been going on for decades, frankly. But that's, I think that it's a definition of the problem and has been for a long time. We have so many tools, We have so many sources of data. The data is very disparate. Even if we're talking about vulnerabilities themselves, which are well understood concepts, right? How do I relate a Windows patch, a CVE assigned to a Windows vulnerability? How do I relate that to a misconfigured, you know, container, you know, that I've got, I'm hosting out in public cloud versus a SQL injection vulnerability on a Windows or on a web application? We really don't have a good way to relate those three things together. We have to do that kind of manually. So the volume of data goes up. The types of security information we have is growing. There really isn't a good way to manually pull all of that information together and build the context you need along with the business context, right? To have that understanding of where are we next at risk? Where are we most exposed? Hmm. So automation is going to be the key. It's both going to be from an aggregation standpoint. We're going to have to automate to pull the data together. There's an automation component for normalizing that data. How do we build relationships between all the disparate things? How do we make sure we understand, is this Windows patch more important than the SQL injection vulnerability? How do we relate them together from a risk factor perspective? There's the obvious need to integrate to other tools, right? We're going to have to take action on this data. We've got to be able to do something with it. So that's going to require the same kind of automation we've been doing for remediation and workflow management, that type of thing, for a long time. But again, the exposure management, I think, is a concept is being driven out of the fact that the scale and scope of what we're trying to manage is too big. And so by its nature, automation becomes the most critical component of that, because if you can't get your arms around all the data and all the context, you're not going to be able to make good decisions about any of this stuff. So it's the key part, frankly.
Yeah. Like you say, if you get your arms around it, you can understand what the results are. And that's going to help that solve that possibly that new problem, or that new question, I should say, is of how exposed am I? You know, in the past, we've talked about how secure am I or how vulnerable am I? The discussion moves to how exposed am I? And I suppose that this sort of a platform that is being offered now, and we'll get on some of the more kind of analyst perspective in a second, can possibly help move that towards that answering that question. Because people, let's say, at the moment will say, how secure am I? But now they're going to probably ask, how exposed am I? You know, is it been written about data breaches since the year dot, you know, and with 20 years of data breaches now? It's more than that now. It's how exposed you are in real time. Is that part of exposure management as well?
I think it has to be, right? Because again, it's going to become a more dynamic sort of view of the world. Right. Where am I exposed today? Where am I exposed right now? Are there threats out in the world that attackers are ignoring or they're not using? Or are there new threats that they're leveraging? Some new vulnerability, a new zero day that's got a proof of concept kit. It's starting to roll out there. And that's now the hot threat of the day. That's the question I really want to answer. Am I exposed to that particular threat? Or is this something else that we're not even aware of that's out there? Again, it's all about context, right? Mm-hmm. And context is something that's dynamic. And this is the problem that we've seen. Well, I mean, we've been talking about this here at Tenable for years, but this is the problem that we've seen with things like the CVSS system for vulnerabilities, right? You have this rating system that's supposed to identify the technical risk of a vulnerability, but that's it. It just says, if this thing was exploited, this is how bad it could be, potentially. And we give it a number, and that number never changes. But that's not real world, right? The real world is, well, no one's exploiting that vulnerability, so it's not really a problem. Nothing that we need to pull the alarms on and, you know, call a red alert and get everybody all on, you know, all hands to go fix it. Now, if someone starts to use it as an attack, if there's literally, you know, exploit kits being built or botnet networks are being spun up to take advantage of that particular thing, hey, this is actually a much more severe problem than it was 5 minutes ago. And we do need to make some different decisions on what to do. It's that context that's really key. So when we're starting to now talk about exposure, right? What is available to attackers? Where am I? Where are the holes in my armor that make me most vulnerable? That's all going to change. It's all going to change based on the attacks that are being used. It changes on the nature of the threats. It changes on the intent of the attacker? Am I really after just fishing for whatever I can possibly get? Or am I zeroing in on one of your key financial officers because I'm trying to get financial data from your organization? All of that is context, and that changes the nature of what we're doing. So yeah, this is not going to be something static. It's not going to be a thing that you implement, achieve one day, sign off on exposure management certified, right? We're not going to get to that point. This is a process where we're continuously looking at the nature of the threats, the nature of our security state, what the business sees as risk, pulling all of that together so we can sit down at any given time and say, what do I need to focus on today? Well, today, it's this problem because this is live. And this is where we need to focus because there are live attacks happening against this type of web application. Oh, and we have misconfigured credentials. Oh, and we have access to all of our cloud platform through those. But you start to kind of create this bigger picture view of it that says this is how bad it could be, and that's why we need to focus here. So yeah, nothing static about this. This is going to be just kind of the new world for all of us, and how we identify where we're at risk and how we mitigate it.
An ongoing process, not one that's sort of a exposure management certified. It's not like BYOD certified to throw it back 12 years. I now do this thing, therefore I am secure. It's more of an ongoing thing, and it's something people are probably more and more aware of. Let's just as I mentioned, analysts are looking at this particular issue, and we've got a paper which came out in July of this year from Gartner, titled Implement a Continuous Threat Exposure Management. They call it CTEM, another abbreviation for us to all get familiar with, Continuous Threat Exposure Management, in case you missed that, program, CTEM program. This one came out, so if you have access to Gartner, then well worth looking that one up. But in this paper, Nathan, in particular, they call it Exposure Management, a pragmatic and effective systemic approach to continuously refined priorities. I've said it very slowly, but a pragmatic and effective approach to refined priorities. It very much correlates what you've been saying there. This isn't just a kind of a tick box we're done. This is about a continuous effort to actually ensure security, I suppose. Is that about right?
Yeah, I mean, yes, but I think it's even more than security. It's really getting into, again, the concept of risk. And I think this is going to be the part that's going to sort of change the way that our technical folks are looking at the world, right? Because I can look at something from a pure security perspective and say, well, this asset has the most number of vulnerabilities, I should start there. This asset, just because of its nature out on my perimeter, it's public facing, I have to start there because that's just by default the biggest problem. And the business isn't going to necessarily see it that way. The business may say, those things are fine, but they're not connected to anything we care about. What we care about is our intellectual property, our core critical customer database, our healthcare information that we are mandated to protect, whatever the case is. They're going to be looking at it from that liability and financial standpoint of, if this goes wrong here, then we have big, big checks that we have to write, or we could go out of business, conceivably, depending on how bad it is. So we're changing this conversation away from just the pure, how do you secure each individual asset? We're looking at this from a much bigger picture view of, where is the business potentially going to be harmed the most? And that's the approach, I think, that based on that, even just that sentence that you mentioned from Gartner's definition there. I mean, I think that's what they're trying to get at, is we have to step away from this idea that we're just handling the technical piece. We're really looking at this continuous revamping of what's most important to the business today. Well, today the priority is this Windows server. Tomorrow the priority is this web application. The day after that, it's our Active Directory server. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter what it is, but it is going to change because those are the places that on that given day the business is most susceptible or exposed to harm. And that's what we want to try to mitigate. That's what we want to try to address. So this, it's a, again, I think this is a really important change for the industry. Hmm. That we're moving the technical folks into this mindset of, hey, you can't keep your heads down and just be the IT folks anymore. You've got to be aligned with the business. You need to understand what is important and valuable to the business. And if that's got to be taken into account when you're deciding what you do, what you remediate, how you mitigate, all of those pieces have to be part of that puzzle now.
Yeah, it's got to be more than just putting defenses up and fences up. It's not just the firewalls and the DLP and everything else. They work great, but it's more. It sounds like a mindset change for people to sort of consider about. Like I mentioned, you know, a discussion point of how exposed are we? It's moving to that kind of a mindset of understanding that concept rather than vulnerable to attacks. Being, you know, actually, well, what do people have already on us? Is that about right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that's a great way of putting it. And again, I think it's that change of mindset about, you know, not just the technical pieces. Where's the business exposed, right? Where are people part of that process? Are the humans that work for our company, do they put us at risk, right? We talk about insider threats all the time. We talk about the potential for data loss through disgruntled employees or accident is really more common what happens. But that's exposure, right? That's a place where the business is exposed to risk. And we see a lot of times that the IT teams will often say, well, that's not my role. That's security's role. That's somebody else's role to train the staff or to be part of the insider threat problem. That's not what we do. I hate to break it to all those folks. It is part of what they do now, right? This is what we're trying to get at. It's all connected. It's all exposure. It's all risk. And so we've got to get everybody to kind of participate in this view of the world, that wherever it is, wherever the business is most at risk, wherever there is potential that the business could experience loss, that is a place they are exposed. We're all in it together then. Right, if the business suffers, we all suffer. So, it is a really important change in mindset, as you said, and that's where we've got to move to, frankly.
Great, and we'll just come to a conclusion then with another comment I picked up from this Gartner paper, which says should be available for those of you who get access to Gartner. It says the objective of CTEM is to get a consistent, actionable security posture remediation and improvement plan. I'm sure people love thinking about more plans to create, that business executives can understand and architect the teams can act upon. That second part of that line, I think, is very interesting to what you just said there, Nathan, about it's something that business execs can understand and architecture teams can act upon. It's not one of these kind of, you know, trying to explain security to the business, which I'm sure, you know, is a conversation too many people who've listened to this have had, you know, trying to explain what Heartbleed was or Log4Shell was, bringing a bit more up to date, or the other way around, going sort of, why can't we allow everyone to work from home? You know, surely it's easy to be secure, and everyone's sort of going, yes, we did all that. It's about actually that actionable security posture remediation and improvement plan. Improvement plan is a very interesting term that the Gartner have used there, because it's about improving the business and improving the security understanding and having an understanding of how exposed are we. It's that level. Does this make this about security posture, do you think, taking this kind of an approach to it?
To some extent, I think there's two key things out of that bit you mentioned there. So the first part is, the first part of the sentence, like the need for an improvement plan, more importantly, the word actionable, right? I think one of the key things that we've talked about amongst, you know, my colleagues and industry veterans for a long time is that, you know, we can assess or we can discover all kinds of things out there. Right? We kind of had a sense of the problems in our environment for a long time, but if we're not doing anything about it, if we're not actually mitigating or fixing things, So we just know that we have a big problem and nothing's really changing. Nothing's improving. It's a common sort of, I don't want to say it's a myth, because I certainly, firsthand, I've had this happen to me, where executive leaders have said, I don't want to know what's in my environment. Then I have plausible deniability. I just don't want to know because I know we're not going to fix it. Which is not a good state, right? That is not where we want to be in the world. And certainly organizations who are trying to manage risk, it's not where you want to be in terms of a leadership position, but it happens, right? There's literally those kinds of places where they know they're just not going to fix anything. So why even bother discovering what you've got out there. So this is an important part of the process, right? We have to make taking action just part of the natural order of this, right? You need to go discover what's out there. You need to figure out how bad it is. We need to put some context around that from a risk standpoint, both technical and business. But then we need to do something about it. And if we're not doing something about it, then we're not executing the plan. And that's, I think, the first part of what exposure management, what they're trying to focus on is taking action is part of the process. That's not a separate process. That is part of the process. It must be done. So that's the first part. The second part, though, is the communication piece, right? It's that latter section of that sentence. It's, as you mentioned, it's been a big issue for the industry for a long time, but I think that the more we get the technical folks aligned to the business, and the more that we talk about risk and not necessarily just security posture, we start in the risk world, we use different language. We start to talk about exposure. We talk about liabilities. We start to talk about impact in a different way than we do at a very, very technical level. And that alignment allows us to say, allows us to see data sets from the perspective of where we're sitting. So technical folks, you know, they often want to see the scope, the big scope of the problem, because they're looking for how much work do I need to do? How many patches need to be deployed? How many vulnerabilities are out there? How big is the problem so I can manage the operational execution of what needs to be done? But that's not what executives want to see, right? Executives don't need to necessarily know how many millions of vulnerabilities are in the environment. They need to understand, are we meeting SLAs? Are we being effective? Is the program working? For the investment in our security team, are we getting good return on that investment? Are we actually mitigating risk? The same data can answer some of those questions on either side. It's just a matter of how you present it and how you look at it. And I think that's going to become another key part of this sort of unification that exposure management is trying to do, of taking the technical and the business together, is that we should also be communicating those kinds of things in a more unified way. Not necessarily the same way, but in a unified way, right? We're talking about the same types of metrics, just higher level trending metrics for like executives versus the in the weeds detailed parts of the metrics for the operational folks. It's leveraging that data smartly so that everybody understands the risk from the same data. We're all unified about what's actually going on out there. We're all unified about what's important to the business. But we're going to look at the measurements in ways that are relevant to our particular role in the environment. So it's a tricky problem. I mean, we've been after this for years, right? I mean, you ask any CISO on the planet, they'll tell you, like, this is one of my big things, is how do I take all this data and distill it down to one graph or one PowerPoint slide that I can put in front of the board in my 3 minutes that I get every month? This is the reality of the problem. But I think Gartner's statement from this report, from what you're saying here, is like, this is a pointed statement from them that this is what we have to do. You have to align how you measure, how you talk about these things, how you share or analyze the information in appropriate ways for each level, right? It's not that you use the same measurements or in the same kind of perspective, same data, but we want to be able to communicate appropriately for each of those levels so that everybody's on the same page about the understanding of what's going on. It's hard, but it's what has to be done, and obviously where a lot of folks have been going. I mean, certainly we've seen big steps forward in the industry in this regard, but this idea again about making it sort of part and parcel of exposure management, just this has to be the way. I certainly don't disagree with that. It's going to be a change for a lot of organizations to have to see that as a more mandatory part of their program and less as a nice to have, right? Mm.
Well, that's a good point, actually, as we wrap up. But what would you reckon people do first, or what would be a good initial step towards this? Because it sounds like for some companies, this could be a complete revision of the way they work. For some people, it may be, you know, actually, this isn't totally dissimilar to what they're doing now. Is there any kind of, you know, first steps that someone listening to this going, oh Lord, I've got a whole new world ahead of me. What would be a good sort of way to kind of get ahead of this?
Well, I think the first thing I want to say is, you know, this is not a new thing necessarily. This is an evolution, right? So don't throw out what you have already. Right? A lot of the tools and the processes that you already have in place in your security program, they're all going to be utilized to fuel this bigger world of exposure management, right? We need the data. You've got to have that data coming from somewhere. You need the understanding of the technical environment. So if you've already got your good security controls in place, you're already doing assessments, you've got a good asset, you know, asset inventory, that type of thing. These are all going to be really critical pieces. So don't throw out what you have. It's not a complete overhaul, right? We're going to take that data and use it in better and bigger ways. But from there, I would say, you know, in terms of a step one, I really do think that the key here is communication. It's about opening up lines of talking with the business and asking the questions about what's important to them. And there may need to be some translation involved in this, right? It's something that I often say, and you know, when I give talks and whatnot in various places here, you know, you ask the average IT person, you know, what's your most critical asset? And they'll probably say something like, oh, it's this database server where we house all our customer information. Well, that's fair. I mean, that's a really critical asset. You're absolutely right. But if you ask the CFO, what's your most critical asset? They might say something like, oh, it's our e-commerce website. Well, wait a second, but that e-commerce website, according to the IT people, is, you know, 50 different backend servers and, you know, a bunch of web applications that support different pieces and network infrastructure. It's like 200 different assets make up that thing. What's that CFO talking about? Well, that's the translation that we need to work on, right? Because the CFO is not wrong. That is an asset. And that is important to the business. And so for security practitioners, I think this is the first step that we need to be making, if we haven't already, is having that sit down with the business leaders, understanding from them what they see as important assets, what do they see as important to the business, where do the folks who live in the business risk world, where do they see risk? And as the security leaders, we need to then take that information plus all the technical stuff we know from the IT folks and our own tools, our own work, and kind of we've got to start to bring that together so we can understand what it really means. Because if we can do that, we're starting to build the context that exposure management wants, right? Which is, how do we take all this technical security information plus the business context together so that we can understand where we're really most at risk? But it doesn't happen without those conversations and really listening to what the business has to say about where they think the problem is or where they're concerned, so that we can then kind of come back and do our first stage analysis of, okay, what is really important to us? What do we really want to manage? What are those critical things? And that's where you're going to take your first steps, because then that's going to allow you to kind of scope out how big the problem is. It's going to allow you to put a plan together for how you're going to monitor that or assess that. Those assets or sets of assets together, and start to build a plan for how you're going to remediate and protect those things. That's really the first step is doing that. And it's hard. I'm going to say this too. I know a lot of folks struggle with this, but I think this is where security starts to shine in any organization, is when you've got leadership and other folks together, and they really make the effort to understand the business and start to become the translator between the business and the technical side. That's the value that security can bring to the table in a way that almost no other group can. So that's the place to start. Obviously a lot more after that, but that's where I'd recommend anybody start.
Perfect. Yeah, I hope it's helpful to those listening. And well, Nathan Windsor, thanks very much for your thoughts today. There's a lot more to talk about in this particular area, so I'm sure we'll revisit it. But for those who want to learn about exposure management, hopefully this was a good introduction at least to it. So Nathan, thanks for your time.
Happy to. Thanks for having me today.
Well, thanks again to Nathan for his time and thoughts. We have added some links in the show notes to some of the references. Gartner, obviously, they are these accounts to get to Gartner, but hopefully we've given you a bit more of an insight into what those papers are about if you aren't able to get them, but we recommend if you are able to find a way to access them. If you want to check out more information on things that Tenable are doing, of course, it's tenable.com, specifically looking for our research content, which we'll touch, of course, on vulnerability and exposure management in the coming months, then at tenable.com/research. For more information on our podcasts and some of the ones we've recently done, look at tenable.com/podcasts. And if you want to connect with me, it's at Dan Rayward on Twitter, LinkedIn, etc. So thanks very much for listening this time, and we'll see you next time.